Your attention, please.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Is this haunted room actually stretching?
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
There's no turning back now.
All right, welcome to the saddest podcast on earth, where three grown adults commiserate over their separation anxiety from the happiest place on earth during quarantine. Each episode will work through our sorrow by breaking down Disneyland by category and then discussing our consensus top five things in that category, as well as what we believe the singular worst thing in that category is. And today's category is sounds. Just a couple disclaimers up top here. First, we're only covering sounds in the Disneyland Resort, so that's Disneyland proper and California Adventure. Second, we define sounds as no dialogue and no music, just a sound that's 3 seconds long, maximum. Third, we miss Disneyland, but we're not hoping it's going to open before it's safe to do so. We made this pod as a therapeutic device to talk about Disneyland until it can safely open. And finally, this list is once again a consensus among the three of us, formed by a point system. So we each made our own top fives, and a ranking of first is worth 5 points, a ranking of second is worth 4 points, and so on and so on. And then I tallied the scores to create this aggregate ranking. As such, only I know the contents of the list, and the rankings will be revealed live to the other two. Speaking of the other two, I'm joined by my two friends, Amanda Pham and Byron Marin, who are the only two people I know that have an unhealthy obsession with Disneyland like I do, and between the three of us, we've logged an alarming 2,000-plus visits to the park, and that's a conservative estimation. All that being said, how you guys feeling about making the Disneyland Top 5 Sounds list compared to the other two? We've now done rides and snacks.
I feel like we've hit the bottom of the well rather quickly.
I don't think this is the bottom of the well at all, to be honest. I guess we'll start with you, Byron. Was this list not hard for you? Because this was excruciating for me.
It wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. I'm more of a visual person, but I did notice that there are a lot of sounds, more than I would originally thought. So the bottom of the well thing was actually kind of an exaggeration. When I thought sounds at first, I thought, wow, this is going to be very difficult for me to conjure up. Music loops is a different story.
That's true. That's true.
But just specific short sounds that you could decipher within a few seconds that don't have any dialogue, no melodies, that I thought would be a little more challenging. But it turns out Disney has a lot of great sounds in their parks. And I don't actually think we've hit the well so quickly.
Yeah, music loops is going to be fun. Amanda, what about you? Is this...
I think I had a very clear top five.
So was it tough for you to even come up with five sounds?
Okay. Actually, I had maybe seven I can list from what restrictions you gave me.
Restrictions, yeah. Yeah, that's. I mean, they are restrictions. That's
they
fair.
They are.
You had a little sauce in the restrictions that I didn't appreciate.
yesterday I had, I think, 15.
Wow.
Maybe less than that, but definitely more than seven, and then you just chopped it.
Yeah, that's true.
Chopped it off.
Well, it's the thing is and I guess we'll go to me now. It's the sounds have to be something that's recognizable. Like you can't be the entire safety spiel of Big Thunder. That's not a sound. That's just a sentence. That's a dude saying something. It has to be a sound as if, to me, this is how I would define a sound. If somebody had this as a ringtone for a text message on their phone, it would make you turn your head around in a park because you'd be like, whoa, I know that sound. That's a sound to me. Maybe I'm a tyrant. I don't know. I was just about to say I don't make the rules, but I literally did that. I did make the rules. So I don't know what I was going with there.
I think this is a very specific podcast anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Fine.
And for me, I will say that this list by far was the hardest out of all three of them for me. I had so many sounds on my list. I'm a very, in terms of nostalgia and memories, they're very much attached to audio for me. I actually have on my phone voice memos. I call them sound prints, where I basically will sit in an area that I enjoy the soundscape, and I'll put the phone next to me and I'll record for 2 minutes, and I'll label it waterfall noises in Malibu, July 4th, or something like that. I have things on my phone that are from that, from Disneyland that are just like that. So sounds to me really do bring me back to a moment. I know for some people it smells, some people it sights. For me, it sounds. And, you know, when it comes to one-way tickets back to the Magic Kingdom in my memory museum, sounds for sure is number one. All right, that all being said, this was an excruciating list. I had to make some tough cuts, but let's just get into it. Let's just pull off the Band-Aid and get into number five here. Number five is... the Space Mountain Power Transfer.
Yes!
Now, I will say, let's start with Byron.
That means it was high on your list.
Yeah,
It was not on my list. But I need to pick a different honorable mention. I'm just really happy that you guys actually took that into consideration.
Oh, shit. That was high on your list.
I don't know what you're talking about, Amanda. It's not my turn yet. It's Byron's turn.
Okay, it was high on Ryan's list because it wasn't on our list, but it made the top five, and I'm happy about that.
Where would it have been on your list?
It was gonna be six. It was going to be my honorable mention. I actually originally had it in the list, and then I like snuck it off for something that was probably not as worthy. Now I'm looking back at it.
You do know what I'm talking about, though, the power tunnel.
I had it like, the blue.
It's a.
Yeah, it gets you amped.
Yeah, it's fucking great. And then there's a lady. I wish I could include her voice in the actual sound itself, but I can't include words. But she does say, "Power level at maximum." What do you think about this sound, Byron?
I don't know if it's just one of those things where it's like it's just super techy and cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of like over the top, but it's just something like the way it just goes with those blue lights and you're starting out the attraction.
Yeah.
It does kind of give you this boost. It does amp you up for the ride. It's.
I guess it's like the perfect taste of the actual music on the ride.
Yeah, it's a good sampler. I will say that. It whets the appetite.
It's great.
And then that appetite is fed, I'll tell you. And now for me here, this tunnel, look, on my list there are sounds that immediately make me nostalgic. And when I was compiling this list, I was going on YouTube to confirm my suspicions of why the sound should be on a list. And this was, I will say, the only sound that literally brought tears to my eyes. I was watching it, and I was like, well, this is a pretty sweet sound. This is pretty cool. Every time I hear this, I feel like I'm about to go on a grand adventure through space. And then I played it, and suddenly I was like, oh, man, my face is wet. It's amazing. It is hard for me to kind of imagine the sound as a standalone, to be honest, because I do already see the blue lights that are, you know, streaming across that tunnel when I hear the sound. But it's a fantastic, fantastic noise, and... I think it really does set the table for what Space Mountain is. It's part of what, in my opinion, is the best... I was about to say the best lead-up to a ride, but that might be Pirates, because that ambiance, it's different, but it sets the table in just the right way in terms of just like a chill-out adventure. I don't know. It's up there, though, for me, obviously, because I ranked it number two on my list, which is why... it made it into the number five spot on our consensus. But I think that's enough about the Space Mountain noises. Obviously, I might be the odd man out here. I guess Byron had it at six, so he does appreciate the power.
No, I'm really happy it's on the list.
Yeah, that's fair.
Power tunnel, baby. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. Let's move on to number four. Number four, this is no surprise here. The dog whistle.
Hell yeah.
From Pirates of the Caribbean.
Give us the keys, you squirrely little beast.
I say grab his ears.
Byron.
It's not on my list. Should it be? Yes. Did it cross my mind? Yes. I don't know if it was like a big part of me thought that you two might carry the weight for it, so it would get on anyways.
I feel like that I had a couple that were also like that for me.
It definitely ran through my mind like probably the most amount of times. It probably should be on my list. I'm off to a bad start. now that you guys are bringing it up, I'm like, I want to be on that side of the fence. Yeah. I do love that dog whistle.
Yeah, nice. I mean, you're on the wrong side of history here. Nice. Anyway, let's move on to Amanda.
I think that's the one sound I remember calling out all the time when as a kid.
Yeah, I would
that's
agree
just
with
very
that. Yeah,
clear like memory that me and my cousins or whoever I was with. We kind of just get so stoked when that scene comes up. And it's a scene in a ride that we are excited for that means really nothing.
That's true.
In the grand scheme of things. But when I saw it in like Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Like that's like something I remember getting stoked about.
I remember that too.
Such a good
moment. It's such a specific thing to include in a film, but it like was perfect for park goers.
Come on, Dougie. It's just you and me now. It's you and old Jack. Come on.
I remember when I was thinking of how they were going to make that movie, I was like, oh, I wonder what references to the park they're going to put into this film. And in the theater, when that moment occurred, I wanted to stand up and fucking applaud. I was like, this is how you appeal to sweaty park nerds.
Hell yeah.
And for me, I consider myself a sweaty park nerd. And I was overjoyed to hear that dog whistle. Because it is so, it's so iconic that you really only need just a couple seconds of it. And you're immediately back in the park. But also, you have such a vivid image of what you're seeing, or hearing, rather. When you hear this noise, for me, it's so goddamn crystal clear how dark that jail cell is, the dog with the keys in its mouth. Like, it paints an image immediately in my head.
And it's funny how once that dog whistle starts, all those other little bites kind of like are attracted to it.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Like, so, but every time you like you hit the memory bank for this ride, it's always that whistle you hear first before everything else kind of adds to it. But that's kind of like the nucleus of that moment.
When I was younger, I wanted to whistle specifically to try to do that rhythm.
That's awesome.
There's a beat. I don't even want to ever try. Yeah,
I can't whistle.
I can't whistle for shit. And it gets me so mad specifically because of that.
Like Amanda, it was the one that stuck out to me as a child. It did also make me want to whistle, which I never did learn how to do. It still eludes me to this day. I don't know how people do it. It seems like magic.
Can you record you trying to whistle? Like watching YouTube videos and like you trying to whistle. I would watch that.
Oh, wait. I'm kind of whistling right there. Hold on.
There you go.
No, that's just me blowing.
Baby's first whistle. There you go.
Nah, that's pretty rough. The rest of the podcast is just me trying to whistle for 30 minutes.
It was an interesting take he had. He just kind of went and kind of blew air for 7 minutes.
It's embarrassing. This deserves to be on the list. I feel like this is one of those sounds where if it wasn't on our top five, people would be like, what are you guys doing over there in that park you're recording yet? But let's move on here. We're flying through these this week. This is great.
Yeah, until you go on like another popcorn tangent.
Yeah, that's too. You don't get me started on popcorn.
The sounds of the popcorn.
The sounds of the popcorn cart. Yeah, that's
honestly
a good...
there was a like a part. Here we go.
Pretty good, actually. I didn't think about that. Number three, also an iconic one here. Number three is the Star Tours chimes. Now this is interesting. Because I'm assuming we all mean the Star Tours new chimes. They're a little different than the old chimes. I still think that they're the same auditory experience for the most part. But let's move to Byron.
Oh, that was another one I almost put in.
What made it onto your list?
I'm over three. All three of these, I was like highly considering putting on the list. Or at least had them on the list for a certain amount of time.
I will admit that the Space Mountain power transfer is not iconic, and to have it so high on my list is questionable, to say the least. But these last two, pretty damn iconic. To not have them on your list, did a horse on Main Street taking a dump make it on the list?
I didn't put them on. I agree with all of
just
them.
Just a big horse squeezing out a turd. Just
look, yeah, these are three. I'm very happy with the three that are on here, but I'm also disappointed that I did not put them on my list. It's a pretty trash list so far on my end. I got two more slots to really make up for it, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
I don't know, man. That bottom three is pretty rough.
Yeah,
his next Byron's number three is like, you know the sound that the lockers make, you know, on Main Street when you close it, like that chunk. I love that shit. It kind of sounds like the lockers at 24 Hour Fitness, but it's a little different because you could smell the Starbucks nearby.
Adventureland toilet flush.
I probably would love your list.
You know the click of the shutter when people from PhotoPass take your picture? That's pretty sweet, too.
Let Byron enjoy the sounds that he thinks are sounds.
Hey, I think they're all great sounds. I just don't think they should be on this list anymore.
All right, sorry, go. What do you got here for why you didn't include the Star Tours chimes?
I have no reason why I didn't. I just didn't think it was... I think with, like, Star Tours getting, like, the renovation and stuff, and it was a... I don't know, I just... It wasn't... It just didn't feel, like, classic enough to me. But then again... I guess it does tap into my childhood. So it isn't nostalgic on my end. I just don't feel like... when I hear it, I don't think like, oh, classic Disney as much as I do from other attractions.
Yeah, I guess it is Star Wars in that sense. But what I guess, let me ask you this. What do you think about the new sound versus the old sound?
I prefer the old one.
I mean, everyone... I think people prefer the old one, but I wasn't upset at the new one. Like... for example, there's a sound, the Matterhorn screaming, like not screaming.
Oh, the roar.
The
abominable storm, yeah, snowman.
Is that what you hear? That specific sound?
Abominable snowman. That's like saying an enemy.
Abominable snowman?
Whatever. The snowman. The snowman in the Matterhorn, the original roar is iconic. But
okay.
The new sound is goofy as hell.
He's scarier.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted that sound to be in there, but it's kind of defunct. So
yeah, it's defunct now. And I remember the old one. I have vivid memories of walking by the Matterhorn and actually hearing that sound echo out of the mountain.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't think that sound exists anymore.
It's coming back to me now. It's outside.
It's outside.
Yes, I do remember.
You
that.
Can hear it, and it's great.
Oh,
it
yes.
really sets like the tone of like, ooh, I want to go in that mountain.
That's such a good one.
But I don't think that's there anymore. If that was there, it would be on my list.
It, like they try to make it too real, but
yeah, it's a lot. It's really try hard. Says the guy with a podcast about Disney sounds. You know, it's pretty try hard.
He's a fucking loser.
Anyways. Byron, are you good on Star Tours chimes? Should
yeah, I
pass
to
Amanda?
Say it, like say about it, but
you could say sorry.
Sorry. this whole episode is going to be my apology tour.
I mean, I kind of ruined the list by putting the Space Mountain power transfer in there. That's the Guardians of the Galaxy mission breakout of this week.
And I'm not sorry.
I'm not sorry. So let's go to Amanda here for Star Tours chimes.
Well, it's my ringtone now. It's been my ringtone for years.
Ooh, that's good.
I don't know when I didn't have it as my text tone, but
I mean, that's another head turner. You hear that when you're picking out some produce at Ralph's?
Definitely.
Now I have a new friend.
Oh yeah.
It's great.
Slim pickings in terms of out in the world. No one really, like, I remember the specific people that, like, strangers that, like, heard it and gave me any sort of credit.
Did they give you, like, a knowing nod or did they give you, like, a thumbs up?
They were literally like, Star Tours!
That's pretty good.
And I like and I was going back to, like, what you said about it being, like, a Star Wars type of thing. I think, like, Disneyland.
Me too. I agree.
You know? It just feels very nostalgic for me for some reason, but maybe it is because that was like the first ride my family, like we like did that first every time we went to the Disneyland, to the Disneyland park.
Yeah, yeah.
So it just felt maybe that's why, but what about you?
I think for me, and the reason why it holds like a high spot on my list is at number three for me. What was it for you, Amanda?
It was two.
It was number two for Amanda. I think the reason why it's so high on my list is it's because I have such vivid memories of being like a small young lad standing in line for this. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but for whatever reason, I always felt when they would put you on your little boarding number for Star Tours, that felt like the longest wait on Earth. I don't know why. I was like just, I was always so stoked to get on that ride. And I felt like when I was sitting on that number, it was like, oh, we're about to get on. And then like, psych, you're actually waiting 10 more minutes.
Right.
Just sitting looking at your number.
You'd be like looking at that preview monitor.
The preview monitor.
That was like a cool little spiel she did.
No, exactly. That's what I'm getting to. It's when you're sitting there waiting for the pre-show video to start, that feels like forever. So when you hear these chimes, that's when the actual video starts. And now all of a sudden you're really excited because you're about to get on the ride. So it's almost like this noise to me activates anticipation in me, almost like I'm the Winter Soldier, and they're activating codes for me, and now I'm gonna go, kill Captain America.
It's like a now we're talking.
So
exactly, yeah. It awakens anticipation in my bones because now I'm about to get on Star Tours. I don't know what it is about it. I should actually set this as like an alarm clock. I would immediately jolt up in the bed and be like, it's time to party.
That is such a good idea, actually. I hope you do that and send it.
Because you could actually, as the chime started, by the time you sat up, the chime would have ended. So it's almost like it was time to your waking up. But this noise does awaken something inside me. And it is also another one where if I saw somebody out in the wild, another fellow Disney head, we would give each other a knowing nod, like, we're part of the club here. I also, too, was piloted on a ship by Rex, the troublesome robot. Which, by the way, missed that robot.
Isn't he the DJ now at Oga's
He's
Cantina?
He's the DJ at the Cantina. He's had a rough turn in his career. He used to be piloting starships, and now he's spinning discs at Oga's Cantina at Galaxy's Edge. Really, really rough turnout for that guy.
Yo, I fucking respect him. If this taught us anything, it's just to be happy. Do what
He's following the wrong progression in life, though. You start out as a bartender so you could save up for your dreams, and then you move.
Don't shame them.
I'm not shaming him. I guess I am. I'm saying that I expected more from you, Rex. I grew up watching you. You were a role model.
Maybe he was just traumatized from all that shit that he flew you through.
Well, I mean,
and then just decided to go to the outskirts and just like live like a tiki bar life.
And to that, I should say, did he ever consider getting better? Because maybe he should have got better at flying the flight. I mean, how many flights was he flying a day? At least.
He probably got sued, and then he's like, "Oh shit!" And then now he's at Oga's.
I think he just fled.
But I'm still getting used to my programming. Wait. And I'm like, dude, stop begging.
That's actually true. As a droid, it's not like it's like. You would think he's programmed wrong, so...
Yeah,
If a first flight goes that way, so he has no choice.
They're more than just their programming.
That's true. I like to think of Rex as in the same universe as Wally. Both robots with a heart that know a little too much, you know? Anyways, he got fired, and now he's spinning discs at Oga's Cantina while people pay for drinks that are overpriced. Good drinks, though. I'm not gonna lie. Some of those are... We're not here to talk about drinks, but I don't even know how I got on. How did I get here? I'm not really sure how I got here. Oh, yes, Rex the robot. I do miss that little guy. Anyways, it's a good noise. I think we could all agree on that. Let's move on to number two here. Okay, number two, also iconic, no surprise here. The front gate admission chime / whistle. It's good.
Like I hear Tinkerbell. I see Tinkerbell for some reason.
We're just thinking of the same noise, right?
I think so. Oh, wait. There's also... No, sorry. There's also the entrance that's like a ding. Like where it's like...
See, I was confused at which one you guys are talking.
I think it's both.
Either or, I think evokes the same...
Like, I think we're thinking of both the feeling that you get.
Yeah.
But either way, I consider them almost the same sound, even though they don't sound the same.
I put them in the same.
Me too.
Yeah, that's why it says chime / whistle on the list. That makes sense now. Because the chime is like the Tinkerbell noise, and then the whistle is the whistle.
Magic. Why is it not number one? I'm so mad.
Maybe you'll find out. Byron, let's go to you right here. Where was this on your list?
It was, it was number two. I mean, it means you made it, baby. Like you're in. It just means so much is to come, and I think that's all I'm going to say.
You're just set up for a lovely day, lovely evening.
Where was this on your list?
This was one. That was an easy decision for me.
Yeah.
And I think it's only because you just don't appreciate that ding.
Yeah.
That sound is not appreciated enough by parkgoers, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, and I see what you're saying.
It's doing so much for you, and you don't even.
It's less is more. It's the definition of less is more. That little whistle. Look, I wonder how many sounds they went through as alternates to get to this sound. Because, like, you know, all the other sounds that we have on this list for the most part, other than the chimes, actually, as well, they're like real world noises that result from something. I don't really think of them as much as like sound design, but this. They must have went through so many goddamn sounds to land on this, like, whistle. It's an amazing noise, which is why I didn't have it on my list.
Why?
I don't know. I mean...
See, no respect.
When I get into the park, I'm so excited to get into the park that when the whistle or the chime happens, it's like, oh, sweet, I'm in, but it's not like...
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm they, bathing. Like, let you into
I'm not
the
like,
happiest
I'm not, like,
place
bathing
on
in
earth.
That. I'm not bathing in that sound. It's not...
I'm
you know
sorry,
I mean?
It literally
you
let
know
you
that
in.
The next time you get into Disneyland, you will be bathing in that sound.
No, because, and you'll see what I mean when I get to when the number one consensus here.
Did you think about it, though?
I thought about it.
And you just, like, decided, you're like, no.
It's in the top 10.
I'm going to take I'm going to take full credit for butchering the first three of these.
Yeah.
On this list, but the tables are turning now.
I don't know about that. The table might be doing a 360. I think the table turned a little bit. You think it turned, and then it kept turning, and you realize it's a 360. Okay. Now the table's back where I'm at. Because what I'm saying here is that the sound happens, and there's another sound that happens right after that normally, if you time it right, that is far superior. And I think that's why I didn't include this on the list, because it's overshadowed by this next noise. I get it. I think it deserves a spot on this list, but it just doesn't do it for me as much in terms of, like, a noise that really takes me back to a moment, I suppose.
All right.
Because it's the same moment every time. It's just like I'm happy to be in the park.
This better be, like, an awesome...
So let's move on to number one. But before we get into number one, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. Wow. Thank you for sponsoring this very educational and important podcast. Let's move to number one, though, shall we? Number one on the list, consensus, is the railroad bells.
Hell fucking yeah. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to change the order here. I'm going to start with me because this goes into my last point.
Glenn Coco.
I'm going rogue. And here's what I was saying before. Yes, the park chime slash whistle is great, but normally when I get into the park, maybe every time I've visited the park, it's just been serendipitous. I don't know, but every time I've visited the park, the whistle happens, like the little chime, I'm getting in the park, and now all of a sudden my ears are being treated to the soundscape of that train bell, and it's fucking perfect.
You meant literally overshadows, because
from the moment I step in, the first thing I'm usually hearing is that bell, and for me, I associate that with I'm home. Like that bell also brings me to tears. It's an amazing noise, and it means I'm about to go for a great day. Now the possibilities are endless. The park, like the little chime whistle, it's like, okay, I purchased a ticket. I have an annual pass. That's what that noise means to me.
A lot of anxiety
when I actually scan it and it goes accepted and the whistle happens, the only thought that's going through my mind is like, cool, I came on a day where my pass is not blocked out. That's what actually is going through my head. And then the bell happens and then I'm thinking I'm at Disneyland. So for me, that's how the progression goes. And I may say that because this may appear in a fail podcast later, but I've definitely gone to the park when my pass is not valid. It's been blocked out because I don't have the no blackout ones because I'm not, you know, Bill Gates. And it's devastating when you don't hear that whistle. So for me, it's more just like relief when I hear that noise as opposed to a happiness that I'm in the park, because that train bell is what is like, oh, daddy's home. And I realize I just call myself daddy.
So gross.
And I don't like that. I wish I could cut it out, but it's been said. And as you know, we try not to edit this podcast. So let's go to Byron here.
I had that as my number one as well.
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of agree what you say. I still had to put number two for the entry chime.
Yeah. It's a good 1-2 punch. It's a good 1-2 punch.
Exactly. But I had to put the bells, because the bells is the moment where you're like, okay, we're out of the real world now. Like this is like the magic starting.
We're in Walt's house now.
Yeah, and Walt loved trains, so it's just,
ugh, yeah.
Did he ever?
It's so on par with one of the first like iconic sounds you hear right when you're coming in is like one of, you know, it's like straight from Walt.
You know, in an alternate universe, there is no Disneyland or even Disney as a company. It's just some weird dude who's obsessed with train models.
And he has one.
Just painting them in his bedroom in his mom's basement. And he's just like watching them go around his basement, and he's going, "Wow, I love those choo choos."
Didn't he make it in his like backyard?
He did. This guy loved trains. I love it. Here's the thing: I love when someone has like a borderline unhealthy obsession with something.
Yeah.
Imagine if your obsession spawned Disneyland. That's amazing. Like my unhealthy obsession is Disneyland. I guess my other one would be popcorn, but that didn't really spawn anything. But you know, expensive popcorn cooking equipment in my kitchen. There it is. I just work popcorn back into the podcast. You're welcome. Byron, you were talking about the Disneyland bells, though.
I'm good, dude. No, I think like short and sweet. It's just that's something that I'm confident will never change as long as Disneyland's going. Like a lot of other these sounds, like I really like, but like I know that bell will always have to be there.
Amanda.
I actually had, I think it counts because the bells actually is what I probably meant. But I actually wrote down like the blowhorn.
Yeah, I mean, so that actually is a completely different sound. I hate to inform you.
No. Yes, 100%. But I actually agree that the bell is more iconic. But for some reason I hear the blowhorn when I'm thinking about the station.
Okay, well, let's make that clear. That's a different noise.
I know. I'm just saying.
Don't try and drift on our fumes here. I'm going to start calling you Ricky Bobby because I'm
kind of mad I didn't think of it because it definitely did not make my list. But I put the Main Street station.
I thought about putting the horn, but it's the bells that really do it for me because there's a superior whistle / horn in the park that I imagine most people at this point are very upset at us for not including. It might have to be my honorable mention, even though I don't. You know what? I don't want it to be my honorable mention because I have an honorable mention.
What sound?
The sound, of course, is the Mark Twain steamboat whistle.
Whatever.
That whistle is amazing.
No, totally, but
it is.
To me, when you're walking around New Orleans Square, you see the Rivers of America, you hear that, it's like, holy smokes. This is the greatest place on earth.
Honestly, I still think of the horn from the railroad more.
Interesting.
But I agree, it is like the bell, though. That's
the steamboat whistle. Also, you could, if you get on the Mark Twain, you can actually ask them.
Like this?
You can ask them if you could do the whistle, and they'll let you do it.
That's really
fun
cool.
Fact. There's videos of YouTube on it.
Oh, yeah, and isn't there a book that you can sign and everyone...
Oh, like a guest book?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about an autograph book for
a second.
It's
basically them asking for guest autographs.
Oh, man. I wonder where all my autograph books are. I used
to
love those.
Crazy.
I'm going to go, but next time I go to Disneyland, I'm going to buy an autograph book, and I'm going to get every goddamn character in the park. I'm going to be so happy to be there.
That's a really good series.
It's going to be great.
Let's do that.
Anyways, back to the bells, though.
Oh, no, I just agree, and I'm kind of mad I didn't think about it.
Here's a question for all of us here. Let's say in a scenario we all get very rich, which God willing that'll happen someday. Maybe from this podcast. Doubtful. Right now we've made $8, which is enough to buy 1.5 churros. We've done a sponsorship for this episode. And I said that it's going towards our annual pass fund. It's really going towards our churro fund because who are we kidding? We're not getting an annual pass from this podcast. But we may get a couple churros out of it.
Or we can get one corn dog.
We could buy one corn dog.
I'm all about the churros, so.
I'm curious. If we were all to get rich, like I was saying before, how much would you pay to have a replica of this Disneyland bell that was functional and made the exact same noise in your house?
Ooh.
I don't think I'd want it.
I think I would. I think I'd pay probably... $1,000 for that.
No, than that.
Oh, this would be easily what, $50,000?
I would say, yeah.
It'd be expensive as hell. You know what? I don't know if I'd be ringing it all the time though, because like
I think this is like a nice little.
I don't want to go to Disneyland and then like hear that thing and be like, oh, I'm home.
Hidden gem in your house.
It's interesting. As I said it, there's a part of me that wants it as a collector, but there's also a part of me that wants to keep that noise within the confines of Disneyland because. That makes it special. And if I have it in my backyard, it's going to lose its value to me, maybe.
Well, don't ring it all the time.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to help myself. I'd be like a dog chasing cars out there. Okay, let's move on here. Let's go to some honorable mentions. Of course, these are things that did not make the consensus list, but that we took exception to because they were in our own personal lists. Byron, what's your honorable mention?
I'm going with the Small World TikTok.
That was mine. That's a good one. It's a good one.
That is such a good one.
It's so good. It's amazing.
Oh, fuck.
It's
that
so good.
Been on our list, huh?
I mean, I had it on my list.
God damn
I had
it.
On, wait, did I have it on my list? Yeah, I did.
I'm ashamed, kind of.
Byron had it at number 4, and I had this on my list at number 5. Byron, you go first here.
I can't really put a finger on what makes it. Because I'm not even the biggest fan of the Small World ride, as much as I respect it.
Yes, yes.
I think it's that whole facade. It's like that Raleigh Crump facade.
Yeah.
It's just so wacky. It's got it goes really well with that head that just rocks back and forth. Then like then of course it breaks out into that whole like number where like the figures come out.
Yeah, the
like
little clock parade, the small world clock parade. And it goes dun, 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 and then they come out and they are all dancing around. It's very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you get every now and then the railroad passing as that's happening.
That's an awesome
combo. An awesome, that, there's serendipity right there. That's like when you've reached
the
nirvana.
The combination of the TikTok with the train going by.
So cool.
That's when your
that
soul
takes
leaves
me right
your body.
Back to when I was like 5 years old or something.
Yeah, I agree. I will say that the reason why I had this on my list, it's maybe not. You know what? I maybe it is identifiable. I think I'd be able to identify this TikTok out of any other TikTok.
Sure. Yeah.
And for me, this noise does more than any of the other noises take me right back to like 4-year-old, 3-year-old Ryan. It's because it was so ever present throughout our childhood. You know, you hear it when you're in line for Small World. It's the one ride that like the parents could chill out on. There's air conditioning.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to be in a good mood in that Small World line, and you just have that TikTok in the background. Also, I associate this noise not even with standing in the line of Small World. I associate it with waiting. We used to watch the parade from that spot. That's a good spot to watch the parade, whether it was the Christmas Fantasy Parade or whatever parade they had going on at that time. And I usually associate this with, here we go. There's a popcorn cart right by that, right by the Small World. It's right next to that gift shop that has a bunch of fun stuff. And I would be standing in line for popcorn, and I'd be hearing that TikTok. And it was great because for me, it was like, oh, man, the anticipation's building for this popcorn. The clock is ticking towards ever closer to Ryan getting his fun little treat. There's also a churro cart right there. You know, whether you're standing in line for that, waiting for a parade, or standing in line for Small World, a lot of intersection there for you to be hearing this delightful little TikTok. And it does bring me back to when I was a child, you know, sitting in a stroller.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a time to
be
alive.
I think that's why it's so iconic. It's because that's the first ride you're able to go to.
Yeah.
And like that Toontown area is where you have to go to when you're a child. That's just like where I guess parents think that's like.
It's weird too, like when I hear the TikTok and I'm like, if I hear this TikTok and I close my eyes, I could actually picture my grandma standing next to me and my dad. Like, I look up and I can actually see my dad pushing me in the stroller, parking the stroller by Small World, and like them putting all their gear there, and then we walk over to the line. Amazing.
That's nuts. And I think we've all kind of had that experience.
Wow. Yeah.
It kind of taps you into like one of your oldest Disney sound memories.
Yeah, talking about Winter Soldier, that's like, now I'm activated.
And this didn't make the list.
It didn't make the list. Not for lack of trying.
I should have tried
harder. I'm looking
back at it, but
I think so too.
But at least I put it on the list.
It is on the list. It was number 5 for me. It should have been higher.
That was 4 for me.
I'll say that. You know, looking back, maybe it was ill-advised to rank the Space Mountain Power Transfer at number 2, because that's definitely a memory that's more attached to grown-up Ryan than it is small, innocent Ryan. But anyways, let's move into Amanda's honorable mention.
You might get mad at me.
I might. You know, I've been known to do that.
When you are on Haunted and you get on into your doom buggy,
mm-hmm.
And then the bar comes down and there's like that bang. There's like
That's very specific.
A slight like,
I like that.
Bounce
that
to specific. Like the when he's like, oh, don't pull down on the rails. I will lower it for you. And then it just
the thud.
Ding.
I will lower it for you if you remain safely.
That shit, I can listen to it all day for some reason. That's like my favorite part of the ride is this when the railing comes down and then I hear that like thud. Isn't that super weird?
Oh, it's good. It's good. It made me
it's
so specific, but you could definitely see that.
Yeah, man.
You just don't even think about it, but it's so crucial to the ride.
It's so prominent at the same time.
It made me also think of something that I could have put on my list as well. It's now making me doubt my honorable mention. Oh, man, am I going to switch this at the last second? There's a noise. Yep, I'm going to do it. Originally, it was going to be the Big Thunder railroad noise. There's a railroad noise that goes like, when it's like going around the bend. It's like, when I play it right now, you'll understand what I'm saying. You hear it when you're walking to Frontierland from Fantasyland. And you see the train go by.
And the way it echoes in and out of that helix when it's going in
exactly.
and out of that tunnel.
It was
going
to be there.
It fades away, comes back.
But for whatever reason, it didn't make me as happy is when I thought of this next sound, which is actually going to be my honorable mention. It's on Casey Jr.'s train in Fantasyland.
Holy shit.
And there's a noise, and it goes, what? You know what I mean?
I know this noise, yes.
Why do I even know this noise?
That was my favorite childhood ride.
It was mine, too. Because I wish I could do the I think I can as you're going up the lift.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my gosh.
But I can't do it. But that noise that it makes, that weird, like, I don't know what that is. It's like the train. If a train could speak, which this train does speak, and it was, like, stopping, that's the noise a train would make when it's like, because it's like, ah, my feet are hot. So, like, woo-woo! and it's amazing. And it would always make that right before, you know, you were about to board the train. And I love that noise. So that will be my honorable mention, because it takes me back to a time, once again, of being a child.
I feel like over the past few years, it's just impossible to get on that ride.
It's tough.
Like, I don't think I've been on Casey Jr. in like at least a decade.
I recently went to Disneyland with my girlfriend's nephew and her family before the pandemic hit. And that ride is a top tier ride to get on with a toddler. Just because it's so, more than any other ride, I feel like it encourages like discussion, and you could see, it feels like a very group activity.
You mean because you're caged?
Yeah, because you're all sitting in the cage. You could see each other's faces. Like other rides, like you're sitting side by side or you're sitting behind them. Whereas that ride, you're all looking at each other. So it kind of promotes this like togetherness. And by the way, you guys going in the monkey cage, or are you going outside on like the, out of the cages, like in like the, what the, I guess the car seats instead of the cages. I'm always team cage for Casey Jr. That was like where I wanted to be as a kid, because I felt like being a little monkey, you know?
It's actually faster than you think too.
It is.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack is great.
Underappreciated tune though, like theme.
Oh yeah, the Casey Jr.'s coming down the track.
It's very Disneyland, and you don't ever like mention it.
It's great, but it is like, if I heard that train stop noise out in the wild, that would be the ultimate. Like, I'd probably salute them.
I'd be like, as a fucking text tone.
I'd be like, holy smokes, that might be the coolest person on earth. That just passed me. I'm now regretting not having that in my top five. Oh, well, it made it into the podcast. That's all that matters. In fact, I'm going to play the noise one more time right now. You're welcome. You're welcome. Let's move on to dishonorable mentions. This is, in our opinion, the worst sound in the park, and I'm very excited for this one because I have one that really irks me. But let's go to Byron.
This one might seem a little random. The random Tarzan yell in Adventureland.
That's a really good one. I love that one.
That's good.
Shit.
I don't even like
shit.
Think it's bad. Like hey, I don't know. There's just something about it. And I'm always like by Indiana Jones, and then I'm just like, what the fuck is Tarzan doing around here? Like, I don't. It's random.
That's really funny.
I didn't know I didn't like it, but now I know I do.
It would always just take me out of like classic like Adventureland, because even with Indiana Jones there, it still feels like,
yeah.
And I understand that Tarzan fits the theme for it, but whatever reason, I always think I'm like it's not really Adventureland.
I weirdly don't like the theming on that treehouse either. And here's the thing: I'm a fan of Tarzan the film. First off, I want to say that
it's a good film,
and also the soundtrack slaps to this day. Every one of those tracks is a banger. Phil Collins going hard in the paint. For no reason. He did not have to go that hard in that soundtrack, and yet he did, and we appreciate him for that. So, yeah, I think that maybe is why my ire is directed at the Tarzan yell. I guess it's just very jarring. Like, the Indiana Jones soundscape, there's, like, the 30s music that plays in the queue. It just kind of fits with the jungle theme. Also, you could hear the Jungle Cruise ambiance, which, by the way, also a great sound, that little bird chirp. There's, like, a specific bird, yeah. Like, what?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I know what you're talking about, like the outdoor cue, you hear it.
Yeah, that's it's great. But yeah, the Tarzan yell is very grating in that area.
Yeah, and then out in the distance you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's just like, what are you doing? Yeah,
thank you for like bringing that to my attention though.
It just doesn't fit. It doesn't quite fit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, to just raise awareness for these kinds of things.
Totally,
you know?
Yeah.
Got you.
What do you have anything to say about the Tarzan yell, or are you gonna move to your dishonorable mention?
I can I can move on to that.
Yeah, let's move on to your disarmament.
Mine is the rejection sound for when you forget that your pass expires. Have you ever gotten rejected at the gate?
Front gate rejection.
Oh, yeah.
It's literally like ding. Like, it's like the most sad.
I wanted to bring this up as like a fail one day.
Yeah.
Like a good fail story. I'm looking at you all like, have we all had this experience?
I think mine might be worse. Well, no, probably not. It's just at Chapman, I remember.
Yeah.
I just went and I guess I expired like the day before.
Yeah.
But that like rejection sound, my friend will never like let me live it down. I was so sad. She saw my face and she never seen my face go like completely blank. But all I did is run to the window, got it renewed, and just went back. But I like didn't even think about it. I just did it.
Here's the thing. I don't know if I know the sound well enough because that has happened to me before. But I think in that moment, I went into such a state of shock and blackout that like my whole body just shut down and was not able to take in sensory stimulation at that point. So I don't think I even remember the noise that you're talking about.
It's like ding, ding. It's like a fucking...
But it's got like a warpy echo effect to just like really let it burn.
Yeah.
You know, like a woo.
You know, speaking of noises that will be really...
Fine, that's great.
For what we were saying before to sound design the accepted noise, imagine how much fun it would be. And for me, it would be fun because I'm an evil person to design the rejection noise. You must have been having a blast in there. Like, what noise is going to piss people off the most? What was just a fart? Just... Or the Jurassic Park you didn't say the magic word.
So gross.
This is like for anybody that enjoys being a troll, this is like your time to shine. And for that, I don't remember the noise. I actually am, after this podcast is done, I'm gonna listen to it.
Byron, you know what noise though, right?
Yeah
It's a very specific rejection noise.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how to, like, do it.
It's
but...
quick. It's... I always just think red.
Yeah.
Immediately.
A Donald Duck kind of angry, like, would be also very funny for a rejection noise. Or, like, Goofy falling off a cliff. That... Anyways, my dishonorable mention. I don't even think people are going to know this noise. It's just something... All of my noises on my list, whether good or bad, I realize are very connected to my childhood, specifically around like the 4 to 5 year range, because that's when like I think I was really soaking in memories for the first time. And I feel like those memories, the first ones that made it past that goal line defense in my brain, those are the ones that stick the longest and hardest for me. And for me, this noise is so grating that every time I hear it, I immediately get angry. And this noise is... If you go into Mickey's house in Toontown, Mickey's home. You go into Mickey's home, there is a little carrot farm, and there's a gopher that steals one of the carrots, and he makes this like evil laugh. It's like And every time I hear it, I'm like, fuck that gopher, man. He's stealing Mickey's carrots, dude. What the hell? And I remember, like, as a kid, I would pass by it, and I'd go, why is that gopher taking the carrots? He's stealing them. The gopher's got to eat, I know that. But he comes up, and he's giggling at you. It's like, and that line's also super long. Sometimes you get stuck in that carrot farm, and he's just sitting there laughing at you as you're waiting in line. He's just sitting there laughing like a little troll. And I'm not going to lie. I think I want to kick that gopher's ass. Maybe PETA's going to come after me now, but I hate that little gopher. Do you know what noise I'm talking about?
No.
Do you think that you're just cranky from being stuck in that greenhouse?
I think I might. And I think I was so excited to see Mickey, and I couldn't get to Mickey.
I want to go see this gopher now, though.
And this gopher would pop up and laugh at you.
This definitely is stemmed from childhood because... I don't think the lines are long anymore.
No, they aren't. I don't think they are.
That's the thing.
So we can go listen to it.
By the way, there is also a great sound in Toontown. I don't know what it comes from. It might be coming from the Acme factory, like the, you know, where you could actually like make the thing explode out by Roger Rabbit. There's a noise, and I don't know what it is, but it goes
Yeah.
I love that noise. I don't know what that is, but
I know that noise.
But nothing compares to this little shit gopher. I went into this house recently, and we passed by this carrot farm, and I'd forgotten completely about this my nemesis.
Did it, like, trigger you?
He came up, he popped up, and immediately I was like, why do I suddenly feel like I'm in a bad mood? I hate that guy. I don't know. And it's funny because I love Gopher from Winnie the Pooh. He's the most meta character in that
franchise.
But
if you didn't see the gopher, would the laugh itself still, that the sound of the laugh itself?
I think the noise also kind of scared me when I was a kid, too. It scared me for whatever reason because it's like an evil laugh. It's like a cackle. But, yeah, and I also, like I said, I used to love Gopher from Winnie the Pooh. He was one of my favorite characters. He was very meta. He was always the one who referenced the fact that he was not in the book and didn't even belong in the episode, and then he'd fall down his little gopher hole. Love that guy. Hate the guy in Mickey's house, though. Guy sucks. Anyways, I think that's it. I think that does it for sounds. Look, I could sit here and talk about sounds all day, honestly. There's so many other sounds in here. We didn't even talk about the bayou ambiance from Pirates of the Caribbean, the noise that you, which is, by the way, why eating at Blue Bayou is almost worth the price, because you get to take in that soundscape, the little frogs and crickets and the banjo. Which, if I had my way, the banjo would be in this list, but it's considered music, which is true, so it's not on this list. Just wanted
but
you to know that would have been on there.
But if I heard 3 seconds of the banjo, I would know it's from...
Also another noise, the telegram office in New Orleans Square, when you're waiting for the train in New Orleans, it's the Morse code that...
Why did I know that? That's so embarrassing.
Also have memories of chowing down on some popcorn while listening to that bad boy. It's all good stuff. Byron, I'm not going to let you escape here, by the way.
Oh, man.
Byron, at number 5 on his list, he thought I had forgotten, and honestly, I had forgotten. But as I look at this list now, thank God.
I was going to say, I'm like, man, I really turned this thing around in the... First 3 picks were really bad. My last 3 were pretty on par.
You had me in the first half. I'm not going to lie.
Thought I was going to sneak out of here.
Byron also had a good one. He had Matterhorn Howling Winds on his list, which is great. But Byron at number 5 has, and you know, this is a show that's built on specificity. That being said, Byron for number 5 puts fireworks. That's
hell yeah,
it.
Fireworks.
No description.
I'm going to own it now.
Just fireworks.
Fireworks.
Is there a firework that is...
No, there's not a specific one, Ryan.
So just fireworks.
Yeah, I just know there's a specific time.
Are you talking about the song or like the firework?
He's talking about the noise of fireworks.
The popping.
Yes.
The general...
Big ass...
Broad
Disneyland fireworks.
Oh, cool.
The same noise that you could get from, you know,
going
to a stand.
You don't even have to be in the park. You could be miles away and just hear that first pop at like 9:30 at night.
What if
and immediately you're like, oh, a bunch of people are enjoying that show.
You know, it's the same noise that you could hear if you're in a neighborhood in L.A. when an engine fires. Or, you know, actually any day now in the pandemic when someone's lighting off fireworks in their backyard.
Yeah, but they're not as massive. There's a big booming sound to a Disneyland firework.
I think that's like talent, though. Maybe he can read that in a way.
Let me just crawl out of this hole, man.
Here's what I want to do. I'm going to take firework noises from 5 different theme parks around the world. And I'm going to have you almost blind taste test this. If you could identify which one is the Disneyland fireworks, I'll get off your back.
Okay, that's so awesome.
Play the clip.
We're doing
of...
this on Instagram stories.
Fireworks.
For sure.
Well, what I usually think of is that, like, you know, like that 1-2 that usually they replicate it in Soarin'.
Yeah.
You know, like the
end.
the two big 1-2, like right back to back.
One-two. How do you guys know that?
Yeah, I. If you
see
could,
Disneyland fireworks.
If you could guess what firework is actually Disneyland's, I'll get off your back. But I don't think you could do it. I don't think you could do it. See, for me, it's like if someone were like, "I'm gonna put 5 burgers in front of you, and one of them's In-N-Out." I'm getting it every time. I'm guessing it every single time.
For fucking sure.
With 100% accuracy. I challenge anybody to identify a blind firework.
You know, it might be a placebo, but they just sound more magical to me. Whatever.
Unbelievable. I think that does it. Anybody have any closing thoughts here on Disney Sounds?
I appreciate our honorable mentions a little more than our list for some reason.
I just like talking about sounds, guys. I could talk about sounds
all
day.
Yeah, this was easy to do.
And for all of you fans of fireworks out there, I'm glad you got the representation you needed. Fireworks. I can't believe there was no other description, not like, oh, the opening fireworks from Remember, Dreams Come True.
Hey, look, we discussed a lot of other great sounds.
Are we talking Remember, Dreams Come True fireworks? Are we talking Fantasmic fireworks?
Fireworks.
Why didn't you put...
There's a lot of them that apply to different people. Those are your fireworks. The big 1-2 for me, those are my fireworks.
Anyways, thank you all for listening. You made it through. Congratulations.
Another long one.
What a long one for you to get through. Hopefully you'll join us for number 4, but you know. And thank you for supporting and helping us buy some churros. As always, let's keep that park closed until it's safe to reopen. And you'll know we'll all be there crying tears of joy. Follow us at SaddestPod on Instagram and Twitter, where Amanda's doing some great engagement there. She's very good at Twitter, which is a sentence that people over 60 say. She's real good at Twitter. But she's out there responding to you guys, and I may be chiming in on some discourse as well. Byron doesn't know how to work his phone.
I don't get this whole internet thing. I'm just...
either way, we'll see you guys next time when we talk about whatever we're talking about.